Hello, my name is Nicole Casper, and I'm from the University of Michigan, and I thank you all for coming here to listen to my presentation today. I'm going to talk about the predictors and outcomes of food insecurity in a college population. I have no relationships to disclose. So food insecurity in college campuses has received a lot of attention lately in the national media, from CBS to Fox News, Washington Post, MSNBC, NPR, and The Atlantic have all reported on this allegedly growing problem of food insecurity in college students. However, we really don't have any information about whether this is a growing problem or that much information at all about food insecurity in college students. So we question whether there's food insecurity in college students because 51.8% of college students in the U.S. living off campus and not with relatives are living in poverty, according to the U.S. Census, and that's compared to 13.7% of the total U.S. population. So in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where this study was conducted, when you exclude off-campus college students from the poverty statistics, that dropped the poverty rate in half, according to a report by the U.S. Census. There have just been a few studies that have looked at food insecurity on college campuses, and they've had really widely varying prevalence estimates from 14% to 59%, but they've been in much different populations and in different types of settings and schools. But all but one of them have shown rates that are well above the national average for food insecurity. And they've identified that food insecurity in college students has been associated with race, with finances, poor health, lack of cooking resources, and type of housing that students live in. Food insecurity is known in children to have well-documented effects on academic outcomes and on health, and in college students in a few different studies, it's been shown to be associated with a lower GPA, a higher risk of suspending studies, and lower fruit and vegetable intake, and lower self-reported health status. So this is a figure that was published this year by Gaines et al. That showed some of the unique risk factors that college students face in that might give them a higher risk of food insecurity, which include limited income, an increased cost of tuition and housing, an increased reliance on credit cards and loans, ineligibility for federal food assistance programs, which is true of students who do not receive work study and who don't work over 20 hours per week or don't have children, and developing financial and food management skills. So the objective of our study was to understand what the socio-demographic predictors of food insecurity are in college students, and to elucidate the unique experience of food insecurity in college students and its impacts. We used a mixed methods approach to look at these questions. The first component was an email survey with questions about food access, food insecurity, and preferences that was sent out to two random samples of 5,000 students in winter 2013 and 2012 classes. And then following that survey, we adjusted the responses to the university enrollment statistics based on gender, race, degree, and year. Following that, we did a qualitative survey where we asked free response questions to 16 students about their experiences with food access and food security on campus. So these are the characteristics of our survey population. You can see here in the middle column it shows the respondents to the survey, and then in the right hand column it shows those the percentage of demographic characteristics after the survey was weighted to the demographic characteristics of the university. So you can see we had an overrepresentation of female students and of minority students that took the survey. We use the USDA six-item food security survey, which assesses food insecurity over the past 12 months. And Based on the number of affirmative responses to different questions or statements, which you've already heard about from the different presenters here, you can assess food insecurity within an individual or household. And we tailored the questions to just assess food security within an individual because students live in a variety of different housing situations where asking about the household wouldn't really make sense for students. So if you answer affirmatively to 0 or 1 of the questions or statements, that's categorized as being food secure, and food insecurity is categorized as answering affirmatively to 2 or greater of these questions. And within our sample, we had 41.4% prevalence of food insecurity after waiting for demographic enrollment of the university. And what I want to point out here, I just added in a table after each of my figures in accordance with the APHA accessible presentation guidelines that has the same information as the previous visual graphs. So I'm going to skip over those. So we looked at the correlates of food insecurity within university students. And on the left-hand side, those are the unadjusted prevalences of food insecurity by demographic characteristics. And on the right-hand side, those are the adjusted prevalence ratios. And here in this one, they're adjusted for all of the other variables within the table. So we found that after adjustment, food insecurity was associated with being male, being an underrepresented minority, and pursuing a bachelor's degree. Next, we looked at transportation and whether having access to a car predicted risk of food insecurity. And we found that 51% of students who were food insecure did not own or lease a car, as compared to 38% of students who were food secure. And there was an increased prevalence of 1.4 for students who were or students who did not own or lease a car to be food insecure. We also found in a question we asked how students normally got to the store to buy food, that if they had to take the bus or ride in someone else's vehicle, that they were about 1.5 times more likely to be food insecure. We asked a question in the 2013 survey about students' monthly food budget. And I just want to note here that for this, we excluded students who lived in housing that provided food. So within this question, they were asked to list how much they spent monthly on all types of food. And we found that when unadjusted, there was an association between monthly food budget and food insecurity. However, this association went away and was not significant after we adjusted for gender, race, and degree. However, total monthly budget was associated with food insecurity. And I think that that might possibly have to do with the fact that, as you'll see later, food access plays a big role, and food insecure students may be having to shop at places that have less affordable prices for food on campus. And then we looked at whether students were spending enough money to meet the USDA guidelines for how much a monthly budget should be for an affordable, adequate diet. And so we found that 47.3% of food insecure students did not report having a budget high enough to spend the USDA amount for the Thrifty plan. We asked students to report what barriers they face to fruit and vegetable intake. And here you can see that there were large differences in the number of barriers that students who were food insecure and students who were food secure faced in fruit and vegetable intake. And we found after adjustment that price and time were the biggest barriers that differentiated food secure students from food insecure students. We also found that food insecure students were much less likely to report facing no barriers to fruit and vegetable intake. We looked at the reported fruit and vegetable servings and whether students reported consuming mostly fresh or canned or frozen fruits and vegetables and whether they had fruits and vegetables in the home. And we found that food insecure students were eating less servings of fruits and vegetables, although this was not statistically significant, but they were more likely to report eating those fruit and vegetable servings as being canned or frozen rather than fresh, and they were less likely to have fruits and vegetables always in their home. Food insecure students were about twice as likely to be underweight or obese. So now I'm going to show you the results of the qualitative survey. And we overlaid some themes onto this figure that Gaines et al. Published this year, and things that we found that students talked about in terms of what they were barriers they were facing to food access and food security on campus. So one of the things that we heard about a lot was that students had limited transportation, and they also had limited access to a grocery store. And these two things in combination were cited the most frequently as being barriers to accessing affordable, healthy food by students. We also heard a lot about dorm food on campus, the fact that meal plans are expensive and that dining halls are only open during certain hours of the day. Students talked about social pressure to spend money in certain ways or to eat in certain ways, lack of time to prepare or shop for foods, and lack of affordable, healthy food on campus. We also heard reports of some of the things that Gaines et al. Also talked about in their paper, which were limited income, increased cost of tuition and housing, and developing financial and food management skills. So I'm going to read a number of quotes that we got from our surveys that just exemplify some of the themes that I just showed you. So this is one from a female undergraduate student, and she said that when all your money goes to tuition and bills, and you're not even able to cover all of your bills, food becomes part of your discretionary budget. Financially, I cannot purchase my meals every day, and even the cost and convenience of healthy organic grocery options in the area is a barrier. It's difficult to make time to go grocery shopping when it requires spending an hour or so away from campus, homework, or studying. Another student said, not having enough money is a risk factor for student food insecurity. There's also pressure to spend money in certain ways, going to bars or other social activities that perhaps students fall victim to and don't know how to budget or feel they can't say no to doing things with their friends even if they don't have the money. Another student said, time and money. Students don't have the space or the time to cook for food for themselves, so they eat out, which adds up quickly in terms of cost and is generally less healthy. Though it's time-consuming to eat healthy and inexpensively, I always feel better when I do. The main barrier is just time. I wish there were cheaper, healthier options at UMich so I could buy food on campus. So some of the strengths of our study was that the survey was randomly distributed to a sample of the entire student body. The sample was weighted to university enrollment, and we had a qualitative arm to capture the student's unique perspective on food insecurity, and this is going to guide our future research. Some limitations were that we got a low response rate of about 7%, but that's typical of the type of survey that we conducted. We don't have any information on non-responders for the survey, and we used the 12-month six-item USDA survey, so we weren't able to really delineate between food insecurity and hunger within the survey, and this may reflect times when they were not living on campus. Our next steps in our research are we are going to do an additional survey of food insecurity with a goal of increasing participation rate. We're going to use incentives and multiple emails and use a shorter survey and use some methods that were developed by professors at the University of Michigan that study depression and eating disorders in college campuses. We're going to use a 30-day food insecurity survey rather than the 12-month survey, and we're going to be able to wait for the non-response bias. We're also going to add in some measures of the food environment based on the responses that we've heard from students that food access is a really big problem for them and is a factor in student food insecurity, and we'll be able to assess their living location, and we'll use GIS mapping to look at all the food outlets in the county, and we're conducting a price index for the grocery stores on campus. So I want to thank the other contributors to this research, Erica Robiter and Colleen Raz, our undergraduate students that work with me, and Erica did a literature review. She did a lot of the data management, and she conducted the sample weighting for the survey. Colleen Raz designed and administered the qualitative survey. Karen Peterson is my advisor, and she has been phenomenal in terms of mentoring and advising me along the way. Freddie West is a statistician at the university that provided advice for doing the survey weighting, and the Student Food Co. is a group of students on campus that's working really hard to disseminate this information and to work on food insecurity problems on our campus. So thank you. Yeah, we actually did ask that in the 2013 survey, which I didn't include here. We did find that food insecurity was associated with a greater reliance on taking out student loans. That was the out of all of the different types of places where students' finances come from, that was the largest association that we saw. And we're going to ask those questions again in our subsequent survey, and we're going to change the way that we ask the questions a little bit more, because the way we asked them in a way that made it a little bit difficult to analyze. Thank you.
So for some of your questions, you were actually asking vegan foods and vegetables and all that.
Right.
What was home? What did, how did you handle students who live in the homes and eat in the dining homes? Did you exclude them from all the questions? Did you just refer to those?
We only excluded those students from the questions about food budget, because we did find we thought that they were not accurately reporting their total food budget, because some part of their food budget was within their budget for rent. That's a really good point, and we did not look at that at all in terms of like type of housing and whether those fruit and vegetables were even things that they actually had access to, or whether they were their roommates' fruits and vegetables, because I think that students live in a very wide variety of housing situations, and so it's very difficult to assess like household food insecurity within a campus. Yes, and we did ask them, we actually did ask them about their living arrangements, and we looked at that, but I think the majority of students either lived in an apartment or a house on campus with friends, or they lived in the dorms. Right, right. Right. And so we could maybe change that question if we use that same question again about fruits and vegetables in the home, if those were their own individual fruits and vegetables. We did modify the survey to refer only to the individual rather than to the household, the food insecurity survey.
Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, I assume you took a random sample from your own research, but I was wondering what your framework was for the completion of the survey, and if that kind of addresses a higher prevalence rate. Were you asking, you know, asking the students to fill out the questionnaire? And then, second of all, I wanted to just ask a little bit more about the information from that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you for your questions. In terms of the 30-day versus 12-month, I'll address that first. I think that it will change our prevalence estimates, and I think we're thinking of this survey more as a pilot study, the one that I just presented, and we found that food insecurity is definitely a problem that exists on campus, and we have also talked to a lot of students and found that they move around a lot during the year, and since we want to use geographic measures within our subsequent survey, it doesn't really make sense for us to have a 12-month survey period because a great majority of students have lived at least two locations, if not three or four locations within a 12-month period, and so we won't really be able to relate that geographically to the food environment, but we probably will find that the prevalence, or like we won't be able to relate the answers to those questions to the answers from this survey that we did. And then, what was your first one? Oh, yes, I think, we said that we were asking a survey that was about food experiences on campus. I do think that there is great potential for bias in terms of the students who would answer that, and maybe they were, angry about experiences with food on campus, or they were having stressful situations with food on campus, and so then they wanted to answer this particular survey. We tried to mitigate that a little bit by waiting to the university demographics, but we had a low response rate, and so we really can't say whether this is representative of the student body. Both of them have, sorry. Okay, sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not able to access that in our quantitative survey, but we did hear reports of that in the qualitative survey. The students felt that they either felt better when they ate healthier, or that they didn't feel like they were performing their best due to the types of foods that they were eating. And in our follow-up survey, I think that we're going to be able to get GPA information from the university, and so we'll be able to assess that much better.